and welcome again to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and this week we continue our salute to radio comedy with a sitcom that was very popular in the late 1940s and early 1950s, My Friend Irma, created by Cy Howard. The two central characters are young working women sharing an apartment in New York. It stars Marie Wilson as Irma Peterson, a dim bulb with a deadbeat boyfriend, and Kathy Lewis as Jane Stacy, her level-headed roommate, with John Brown as her boyfriend Al. This sitcom was so popular that it spawned comic strips, movies, and a television show. The first show on our program today has Irma giving their hard-earned rent money to Al for one of his schemes. This episode is so early in the series, they don't even have a sponsor yet. Enjoy My Friend Irma, first broadcast April 18th, 1947, on CBS.
The Columbia Broadcasting System presents a new comedy.
My Friend Irma.
Starring Marie Wilson as Irma and Kathy Lewis as Jane, with John Brown as Al.
Friendship, friendship, just a perfect friendship. When other friendships have been forgotten, there will still be hot. My friend Irma.
Friendship is a thing that's been around all through the ages. Like measles. Measles you can get rid of, but not my friend Irma. Do you know something? I never want to get rid of Irma because I sincerely love that girl. So I'm going to continue to live with her through thick and thin, although at times it's trying. Now take, for example, when I was trying to straighten out our finances and fix up a budget for us. Naturally, I had to ask Irma a few simple questions. So I said, Irma, honey, how much money did you save last January?
None.
Well, that's silly. You worked all month. How come?
I bought a fur-trimmed coat.
Well, how about February?
I was still paying for the coat.
In March?
I didn't pay for the coat in March.
April?
In April, I paid a lawyer for getting me out of trouble for not paying for the coat in March.
Now, honey, please be serious. We've got to work on a budget so that we won't be in the position we were in last year of having to use up all our savings in order to pay our taxes.
Jane, we won't have to pay taxes this year.
Why not?
Because my boyfriend Al says income taxes are fad and it's sure to blow over.
Al said that?
Yes, and that's why he's not going to pay any this year. Instead, he's going to use the money to buy himself a new suit.
Irma, I've got news for you. If Al doesn't pay his taxes, the government will supply him with a new suit. With stripes.
Well, I hope there'll be pinstripes. Al looks so cute in them.
Well, honey, you forget Al. You know, there are other guys in this world besides Al.
Oh, I know, Jane. And one of the boys at the office sort of has an eye on me.
Really?
So I told him I like him, but my heart belongs to Al. But that didn't discourage him.
Why not?
He said he loved me for my mind.
Believe me, Al's got a better deal. Now, listen, Irma, my boss, Richard Rhinelander's coming over later to take me out, so let me get together the rent money to pay Mrs. O'Reilly, the landlady. Huh? Now, what have we got in our cookie jar?
3 graham crackers and 32 cents.
Oh, well, I guess it must be in the sugar bowl. Yeah, here it is, 10, 20, 30, and I'll take $10 from my purse and $10 from your purse, and that'll be an even $50 to pay the rent with. And that's all the money we have in the world.
Jane, why must we take all our money and give it to Mrs. O'Reilly?
Well, because she's our landlady and she happens to own the building.
Well, if she already owns the building, what does she need our money for?
She needs it for overhead.
Well, it's a good thing to need it for. Our ceiling's been leaking for months.
Well, any way you look at it, we have to give her the money. Now, look, honey, if she comes up and I happen to be busy dressing, you know, you pay her the $50 and be sure to get a receipt. You think you can handle that?
Certainly, Jane. What do you think I am? Dumb?
Irma, I'm kind of sorry you asked me that.
Why?
I might have to answer it.
Oh, Jane, do you hear someone knocking?
Yes.
course. Let's open the door. It might be someone we'd like to know.
Oh, no, we've got all the friends we need.
Oh, well, what's the use? Come in.
Hiya, chicken. Hello, Janie.
Oh, look, Jane, it's Al.
Yes, I know. The change purse in my pocketbook is quivering.
You know, Jane, it's lucky for you I'm not sensitive, or I wouldn't let you in on this big deal I got going.
Before you tell me about any new big deal, genius, what happened to the money we gave you to help finance that new washing machine invention?
Oh, that's going to be the biggest thing in the country. Do you realize it dries clothes, presses them, and sews buttons on shirts?
What about washing the shirts?
When we solved that, we got the whole problem lit.
Al, have you ever wondered why I keep picking on you?
No, Janie. But now that you brought it up, why do you?
Well, I sort of got a theory that everybody in this world should have some kind of steady employment. That seems strange to you?
Oh, I believe in it myself. That's why you are now looking at the manager of the next heavyweight champion of the world.
Who is he, Al?
Tiger McGuirk. Girls, I'm telling you, the minute I laid eyes on the Tiger, I knew he was a champ. You see, I'm in this tavern over on 3rd Avenue, see? And I noticed the Tiger working there serving drinks. Well, suddenly there was a commotion because some no-good phony wouldn't pay for his beer. And the Tiger rushed in and threw the bum out on the sidewalk.
Gee, Al, did he hurt you?
Please, chicken. Now, girls, I can enter Tiger McGuirk at the Elks Club in the preliminaries. And all I need is a little capital.
Goodbye, Al. Your story has touched me. But you won't.
Oh, look, Jane, honey, am I the type of a guy...
I don't know what you're going to say, but you're the type.
But why are we standing here gabbing? By an odd coincidence, I just happen to have the Tiger right outside. I'll have him in, and you can look him over yourself.
Oh, now, just a minute, Al. We don't want any prize fighters in here. This is not an annex of Stillman's gym.
Oh, he won't bother you. He'll just come in and walk around quietly on his heels.
Sure, Jane. Let him come in. You're making a mole out of a groundhog.
Okay, you will now meet the one and only Tiger McGuirk. I'll just whistle.
He answers that. His name ought to be Lassie McGuirk.
You called me, boss. I run all the way up the steps.
Girls, this is the Tiger.
The Tiger? From the pouch on him, he looks more like a kangaroo.
I'm pleased to make your acquaintance, Mr. Tiger.
Thanks, lady. Hey, boss, I'm hungry.
I told you you mustn't eat before the fight.
Yeah, but 3 days before?
Jane, I think he's cute.
And I think we've seen enough. Al, will you please tell the Tiger to pedal his muscles elsewhere?
Oh, now, wait a minute, Jane. He's just getting started. Tiger, would you like to skip a little rope for the girl?
Okay, boy.
Oh, I'll take my nylons off the clothesline, Mr. Tiger, and you can use that.
No, Irma, no. Mr. McGuirk, please, this is not the place to... No, no, you're shaking the whole building.
Get a load of that floor.
No, please, Mrs. O'Reilly, our landlady... Please, Mrs. O'Reilly, our landlady lives downstairs. You'll crack her ceiling. Well, stop it.
Okay.
What in the name of heaven's going on up there?
Oh, dear. We're sorry we disturbed you, Mrs. O'Reilly.
Disturbed, was it now? Do you realize the ceiling just came down, plastered and all on me poor husband?
Oh, dear. Was he hurt?
No, but it's the first time he's ever been plastered on the outside.
Well, we won't let it happen again, Mrs. O'Reilly.
Well, you'd better not. Now, stop your mourning, dearie. I'll be digging you out in a minute. Girls, today's the first of the month. I'll be up for me rent later.
Oh, we've got it for you, Mrs. O'Reilly. Al, would you and Tiger McGuirk please get lost?
Tiger, go down and run around the block a couple of times. I want to talk to the girls. Private.
Gotcha, boss. Well, so long, lady. See you later.
Good luck tonight, champ.
Bye.
Well, girls, what do you say? You want to back the Tiger and hop on the bandwagon?
No, I think we'll hitchhike and stay honest.
Okay, you had your chance. I withdraw my offer.
It's accepted. Irma, sweetie, I'm going to go down to the drugstore to buy some of that special perfume that Richard likes, you know. And now, if Mrs. O'Reilly comes up while I'm gone, here's the $50 rent money for her, and you be sure to get a receipt. You think you can handle it?
Certainly, Jane. Jane?
Yes?
Oh, why don't we give Al the money for the tiger? He looks like a sure thing to me.
Oh, honey, we just made out a budget which leaves no surplus for stray fighters that Al manages.
Yes, but Jane, what if he turns out to be another John L. Dempsey?
Irma, are you really dumb or are you just acting stupid?
I've got you over a barrel, haven't I?
Why did I ever leave Wyoming?
Wyoming? Isn't that silly? You know, Jane told me she was born in West Dakota. Al, honey, I'm awful sorry. I really did my best.
I know, chicken, but that's just me. Hard luck, Al. Here I got a chance to clean up on the tiger, and I can't get a break.
Gee, Al, I wish there was something I could do.
Oh, you tried your best, kid. But you know, Irma, I don't really care about the money for myself. It's you I was thinking about.
Gee, Al, you're so sweet.
You see, I figured that if the tiger could win a couple of fights, it might be possible for you and I to walk down that middle aisle.
Together?
If you want it that way. But, chicken, since we couldn't persuade Jane to give me the money, I can't enter the tiger in the fight tonight. So I guess we'll have to postpone our marriage for about 10 years.
Gee, Al, I wish I had some extra money. You see, the only money I've got is this $50 rent money, but I've got to give it to that Mrs. O'Reilly. Oh, I'm so sorry, Al.
Don't let it bother you, kid. I understand. You know, Irma, that's just one of life's funny twists. Here you are giving $50 to a dame who's got a house and don't need the dough, and here $50 would solve all of our problems and make all our dreams come true.
Al, I've an idea. If I took the $50 Jane gave me and gave it to Mrs. O'Reilly and gave it to...
No, thanks, chicken. I couldn't take it. But keep talking.
Well, don't you see, Al? If the tiger's such a cinch to win, you could return the money right after the fight. I'd pay our rent and Jane won't have to know anything about it. Here, Al, honey, take the money.
No, no, kid. You might get in trouble with Jane.
Oh, she'll never know. Take it, Al.
Okay, Irma. Gee, you're wonderful. And believe me, you'll never lose by this.
Oh, I know, Al. I've got confidence in you. But just tell me one thing. Is the tiger really a great fighter?
Chicken, why do you think Joe Louis took up golf?
And now it's the Sportsman's Quartet with Lud Gluskin and his orchestra and their own special arrangement of Nellie Bly.
Love to me. I will play and sing for you the sweetest melody. Oh, Nellie, won't you listen while I sing to thee? Nellie Bly, bring the broom along. We'll sweep the kitchen clean, my dear, and have a little song. Oh, Nellie has a voice
like a turtle dove.
And when she sings so pretty like,
my heart just drips with love.
Drip, 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 hi, hi, Nellie. Oh, oh, Nellie, listen, lady, love to me, too. I will play and sing for you the sweetest melody. Oh, Nellie, won't you listen while I play for thee?
Our budget and paying our rent, I felt pretty secure. Just to play safe, I said, Irma, honey, did you take care of the rent money?
Yes, Jane, I took care of it.
So, financially, I was sailing on a cloud. And romantically, I was higher than a cloud because tonight I was going to go out with my dream man, Richard Rhinelander. He was due in a few minutes, so I decided to fill up the time by doing a little daydreaming.
which appeals to me because it's the one thing that Irma can't complicate. Now I'm dreaming that I'm Mrs. Richard Rhinelander III, and we're honeymooning on the beautiful French Riviera. Soft light, dreamy music. As we walk along under the stars, Richard takes me in his arms and says,
Jane, should I empty the garbage now?
That's Irma, jerking me back to reality. You know, I'm not even safe from that girl in a dream. Irma, what is it you want to know?
Well, should I empty the garbage now?
Irma, do you realize that I have just left the Riviera to talk to you?
The Riviera?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was wonderful. Wouldn't you like to take a trip around the world?
Oh, no, Jane. There's too many other places I'd like to see first.
Well, we started tidying up the apartment for Richard, and while I was busy sweeping the dust from under the rug where Irma had swept it, I noticed that Irma was vacuuming in the hall. I said, Irma, why are you vacuuming in the hall? And she said,
well, I've finished in the apartment and the dust bag isn't full yet.
You know, it's amazing that a vacuum cleaner, which in most people's hands is merely a household gadget, in Irma's hands becomes a deadly weapon.
Jane?
Yeah?
I've got everything fixed up real nice for Richard's arrival. I put candy in the candy bowl. I put cologne on the paper flowers so they'd smell nice. And I've done something especially for you.
You did? What?
I loosened the bulb in the lamp.
Why?
So that when you and Richard are sitting on the couch, all you have to do is nudge it with your elbow and the light will go out.
Oh, listen, honey. I appreciate what you're trying to do for Richard and me, but, sweetie, if you really want to do me a favor, please be careful what you say to him, huh?
I will.
You know, he'll be real proud that I managed to fix up a budget for us, because Richard, even though he's a millionaire, he believes in things like a penny saved is a penny earned.
That's cute. I know one, too. Early to bed and early to rise makes me healthy, wealthy, and sleepy. Now, you give one to him.
Irma, I'm not playing games. I'm merely giving quotations that Richard and his father believe in. Business principles like, never put off until tomorrow what you can do today.
Well, that's where they're wrong. I always put off until tomorrow what should be done today.
You do?
Yeah, I make a lot of overtime that way.
Well, don't let Richard hear you say that, huh? He might not understand.
Oh, excuse me. All right, Jane.
What's the matter with you, Irma? What are you so nervous about?
Oh, I'm not nervous. Just wish Al would telephone and tell me if the Tiger won.
Oh, who cares if he wins or loses? We didn't invest any money in him.
Well, I feel almost as if we had.
You wanted to, didn't you? But I wouldn't let you. Imagine Al. Imagine him trying to line up a sucker to back that broken-down fighter. Isn't that silly?
Yes.
You needn't get hysterical. It's not the most attractive side of you, you know.
Gee, I'm as nervous as a cat about to have puppies.
Well, take it easy, honey. We haven't got a worry in the world.
Yeah, you haven't a worry in the world. Jane.
Yeah?
Even though there's nothing to worry about, promise me we'll always be friends.
Oh, honey. Sure we will. I may be stern with you at times, and I just hate myself for it, honest, but believe me, there's nothing that can ever break up our friendship.
Don't worry, I'll think of something.
Come in. Hello, Richard.
Oh, hello, Jane. Irma, nice seeing you.
Won't you sit down, Richard?
Oh, thank you, Jane. Well, now, what have you girls been doing with yourself?
Oh, well, I've just finished putting Irma and me on a budget.
Splendid. Splendid. I think being on a budget is a smart economical move. I admire you, Jane, for having such a well-developed sense of financial responsibility. Few girls have.
Thank you, Richard.
Yes, Dad and I have often discussed financial discipline at our board meetings. We feel that paying one's bills, taxes, or otherwise can help to combat inflation.
Yes, indeed.
You know, the new fiscal year of 1947 has a great potential in the direction of economic upheaval. Less consumer goods stabilize the country will have to be continued on page 19.
Irma, Irma, what is that?
I don't know. I never turned to page 19.
Well, it's getting late, isn't it? Isn't it? I think I'll get my hat, and then we'll be off, Richard.
Oh, fine, Jane. Well, Irma, you seem a bit preoccupied tonight.
Well, I'm worried about Al and Tiger McGurk. Al should have phoned by now.
Al?
Yes, you remember Al, my boyfriend? Well, he's managing a fighter, and there's a fight tonight, and, well, a lot depends on it.
Well, I must say that Al of yours is a very enterprising young man.
Oh, sure. Last year he had a racehorse.
Is that so?
Yes, he even had an invention that went with the horse.
An invention?
Yes, it was an electric circuit with live wires that went under the horse's saddle to make him run faster.
Well, that's unusual.
Yes, but something went wrong. The horse won the race, but the jockey was electrocuted.
And now your Al has a prize fighter.
Yeah. And can you imagine, Richard, he tried to get Irma and me to back him, but I refused. I said that we'd made a budget and we'd stick to it. Well, come on, Richard. We don't want to be late for the movie. Irma, honey, why don't you come with us?
No, thanks, Jane. I have to wait here for Al so he can tell me how the tiger makes out.
Forget the tiger. You act like you had money on him.
Yeah, don't I?
Come on, sweetie. Come on to the movie with Richard and myself. You'll like the picture. It's The Guilt of Janet Ames.
Thanks, Jane. I'll stay here with The Guilt of Irma Peterson.
Goodbye, Irma.
Goodbye, honey. I'm sorry you're not coming with us. We'll see you later.
Oh, gee, I'm so nervous. I hope Al comes back before Mrs. O'Reilly comes for the rent. Well, that must be Al now. Come in, Al. Oh, it's you, Mrs. O'Reilly. Well, what can I do for you?
Well, Irma, I just finished reading my horoscope. Jupiter's in direct vertigo with Saturn. And Sagittarius is just in back of Capricorn, leaving Aries near Pluto.
Oh, what does all that mean?
The rent is due.
Oh, is it rent day already? Well, it seems only yesterday that we paid you for last month.
It was yesterday, dearie. You are 30 days late. And now if I can have me $50, I'll be going.
Well, now, don't be in such a hurry, Mrs. O'Reilly. Now, come in and we'll chat a little.
Well, I don't mind if I do, Irma. I've got a sort of a soft spot in me heart for you two girls.
Well, what's new, Mrs. O'Reilly?
Well, Mrs. O'Malley had twins last night and her husband... Now, just a minute there. You're getting me off the subject.
Oh, I wouldn't think of doing that. Were they happy having twins?
Indeed not. They got too many mouths to feed as it is.
Oh, really, Mrs. O'Reilly? How many children do they have?
Oh, now, let me see. There's Timothy, Patrick, Terrence, and Dennis.
Care for some tea?
Yes, thank you. Robert, Thomas, Michael, and little Danny.
Sugar with the tea?
Yes, and a bit of lemon. And then there was little Joseph, Stevie, Kevin, and Philip.
She has quite a large family.
And then there's the girls. There's Mary and Maggie and Kathy. Those are the twins. They were all born under the sign of Capricorn.
Oh, what does sign of Capricorn mean?
Oh, that's the horn of plenty. Mm. Well, Irma, if you'll just give me the rent, I'll be on my way.
Well, Mrs. O'Reilly, there's something on my unconscious that I must get off. I gave the rent money to my boyfriend Al to bet on the tiger, a prize fighter.
Now, did you now?
So, could you please wait until after the fight for your money?
Oh, now, wait a minute. Why should I be waiting for my money when you've got a wallet chock full of money lying on the table there?
Wallet? Money? Oh, gee, gosh, Mr. Rhinelander must have forgotten it.
Well, now, isn't that convenient? Now, let me see. He has here, let's see, 10, 20, oh, $150. Now, if you'll just allow me to take $50 out of the wallet, we'll call the rent settled.
Oh, stop, Mrs. O'Reilly. The money doesn't belong to me.
Oh, come now, dear. You're merely letting me borrow the money until after the fight.
But that's stealing.
Well, not if you put it back. Now, don't worry. Just say to yourself, I'm not a criminal. I'm not a criminal.
I'm not a criminal. I'm not a criminal.
Fine. You just keep saying that. And thanks for the rent. Goodbye, dearie.
I'm not a criminal. I'm not a criminal. Oh, but I am a criminal because it wasn't my money. It was Richard's wallet. Gosh, I'm sorry I let Mrs. O'Reilly take the money. It wasn't honest. Gee, I'm a criminal. I'm a criminal.
Hi, Irma.
Jane, I'm not a criminal. I'm not a criminal.
Irma, what are you mumbling about?
Oh, nothing. Hello, Jane and Richard. What are you doing back here?
Well, Irma, the funniest thing happened when I went up to the box office to pay for the tickets. I found I didn't have any
money.
How did you know?
Oh, Al always pulls that one on me.
Irma, darling, what Richard means is that he might have left his wallet here in the apartment. Did you happen to see it?
I'm not a criminal. I'm not a criminal.
No one's accusing you, honey. I just want to know if you saw the wallet.
Well, Jane, let's forget about it. If Irma didn't see it, maybe I didn't leave it here after all.
Well, all right. Irma, if you should run across it, huh? Let me describe it to you. It was a brown pigskin wallet with the name Richard Rhinelander on it. RICHARDRHI.
Oh, you don't have to spell in front of me. I'm old enough to understand things now.
Well, Irma, you didn't see it, did you?
Irma? Why don't you answer, Richard? Did you see it? Irma, this is ridiculous. Answer yes or no. And our friendship depends on it.
Yes.
Yes, what?
That's my answer. You just fill in the question.
Please, Jane, maybe...
Now, you let me handle this, Richard. Irma, did you see Richard's wallet?
Oh, come in.
Hiya, folks. Hello there, chicken.
Oh, Al, how was the fight? Did the tiger win?
No, chicken. But you'd have been proud of him. He established a new world's record. 3.5 seconds of the first round.
You mean he was knocked out in 3.5 seconds?
No, he was back in the shower.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
You're sorry.
Getting back to our little discussion, Irma, I'd like to find out what happened.
Well, I'll be with you in a minute, Jane. I want to see Al in private first. Would you excuse me? Come on, Al.
What's up, chicken?
Al, promise me you'll write to me. And wait for me.
Well, what do you mean? What are you talking about?
Well, Al, after I gave you the money, Richard left his wallet here and I took $50 from it to replace the rent money that I gave you to bet on the tiger.
So?
So, Jane and Richard are back looking for his wallet, and I have it here, and I have to give it to him, and they'll find the money missing. Oh, Al, I'm a criminal. I'm a criminal.
Oh, honey, you're not a criminal.
No, I tried saying that. It doesn't work.
Look, honey, if that's all you're worrying about, forget it. Your Al will always take care of his little Irma. Here's the $50 to put back in the wallet, and here's 10 more for your share of the winnings.
But, Al, where'd you get the money? The tiger lost.
What do you think? I bet him to win. I bet against the bum.
But, Al, how could you be so sure he'd lose?
Kid, a guy don't win who hasn't eaten for 3 days and runs around the block twice just before the fight and don't have no talent to start with.
Gee, Al, you're a genius. Mr. Rhinelander, did your wallet have a zipper on it?
Yes.
Irma, if you're going to say leave your name and address, and if anything turns up, we'll write to you, I just don't know what I'll do.
No, I just want to know if Richard's wallet has a zipper on it.
Well, yes, it does.
Then this one must be yours. Here it is.
Oh, yes, that's mine, Irma, but...
Irma, why didn't you give it to him before?
Well, you didn't say anything about a zipper, and you have to be plenty careful these days.
Why, that's odd.
What's the matter, Richard?
Well, Jane, I had $150 in my wallet, and now I have $160. Where did that extra $10 bill come from?
Well, don't you get interest on all your loans?
So we left to go to the movie, the four of us. And all through the picture, I kept thinking, what is the connection between Richard's wallet and Irma? So, when we got home that night and were drinking our chocolate before going to bed, I said, Irma, what about Richard's wallet? And Irma said,
I'm not a criminal. I'm not a criminal.
Well, that's my friend Irma.
My Friend Irma was written and directed by Cy Howard. How would you like to sign up for security for a ticket to the kind of tomorrow you've always dreamed about? You can do that if you invest your money today in United States savings bonds. Money saved today in savings bonds will bring you a return of $4 for every $3 you invest when the bonds mature in 10 years. Buy United States savings bonds and enjoy the tomorrow you've been dreaming about. Remember, next week, instead of dialing your telephone to listen to your best friend, dial your radio to this same Columbia station, same time, to listen to...
My friend, Irma.
Starring Marie Wilson as Irma and Kathy Lewis as Jane, with John Brown as Al and George Neese as Richard Rhinelander. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, available over iTunes, Podbean, and the World Wide Web. Next, we have another episode of My Friend Irma from 4 years later. And we find that Irma is still having trouble with her ne'er-do-well boyfriend, Al. Jane tries to help by suggesting that Al go to a psychiatrist. Enjoy My Friend Irma. First broadcast April 2nd, 1951 on CBS.
Poor Millicent, no film removing Pepsodent. Her smile grew dim and she lost her hymn. So folks, don't be like Millicent. Get Pepsodent.
And now Pepsodent, film removing Pepsodent, presents My Friend Irma, created by Cy Howard and starring Marie Wilson as Irma and Kathy Lewis as Jane.
Said you cannot tell wherein lays the pearl by the looks of the oyster. If you study my roommate Irma Peterson, you'll know it's true. Because you can look at that pretty head of hers all day long, but there's no way to prove there's a brain inside of it. Now, don't get me wrong, because I love Irma. But there are times when... Well, take the other day. I was reading the paper, and I said to Irma, listen to this, honey, listen. Radio-guided shells are being used in war. And Irma said...
That's ridiculous. What good is a radio in a shell? Once it lands, the program's over.
Well, I don't know about guided missiles, but if you want to know something that's good on the bristles of your toothbrush, why don't you try Pepsodent?
Now you're talking, Jane. Pepsodent gets your teeth brighter by far. That's right, folks. Brighter by far. And the latest scientific luster tests prove it. Pepsodent gets teeth brighter than the average of all other leading toothpastes combined. You see, Pepsodent has something no other toothpaste can give you. An exclusive, brighter polishing ingredient. So if you want a smile that's brighter by far, there's only one thing to do. Start using Pepsodent right away. And remember, brighter teeth are cleaner teeth. Much less likely to decay.
Well, Al's back with Irma again, and the kid is walking on air. I've never seen her so happy. That's why I'm watching her like a hawk. When she gets giddy, anything can happen. Uh-oh, she's turned the shower on. I better check. Irma, you've done it again.
Done what?
Taking a shower with your clothes on.
Oh, gosh. Help me, Jane.
Okay, turn around. Irma, what's the matter with you?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I'm just excited about having Al back. So wonderful to be in love. I can hear my heart beating in my head.
Well, get it back down where it belongs. It's making you punchy.
Huh?
Never mind. Here's your robe, honey.
Oh, thanks, Jane. Will you help me pick out a dress for tonight?
Sure, sweetie. Well, where is the big sport taking you tonight?
Oh, dinner and dancing.
Dinner and dancing? You kidding? What's he going to do, split a hot dog with you in front of a jukebox?
Of course not. This is the real thing. He got a job today.
Yes, I know, and I have just been made head elephant girl for the King of Siam.
Well, I'll get it. Hello? Oh, hello, Al, honey. What a coincidence. You know, I was just telling Jane about your new job. How is it? You quit? Oh, why, Al? It's not steady. What do you mean it's not steady? Oh, they have the right to lay you off when you're 65. No, don't you come over tonight.
There go the cheers again. You know, I'm going to get you a pilot's license and rent you out as an artificial rainmaker.
But, Jane, I can't help it. I love him.
Oh, Cookie, he's nothing but a lazy bum.
I know, but he's so sweet. Besides, he has other qualities.
Sure, so does a flat tire. It gives a patch something to do. Sweetie, I don't want to start a lecture, but do you think it's right for a full-grown, perfectly healthy man to make loafing a lifetime career?
No, I guess not. You know what, Jane? Something just occurred to me. I don't think Al is normal.
All right. Now that the two of you have discovered the secret of your compatibility, what are you going to do about it?
Well, I don't know, Jane, but I got to do something because I love him.
Irma, if you feel that strongly about him, maybe you ought to get him to a psychiatrist.
Psychiatrist?
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe when Al was a baby, he was frightened by a time clock.
Well, what does a psychiatrist do?
Well, honey, they're doctors. They heal sick minds. Maybe Al has some kind of psychosis or neurosis. He might be a paranoiac or even a schizophrenic.
No, Jane, if I'm not mistaken, his whole family are Republicans. Oh.
I don't think that's the blame. It's quite possible that somewhere in Al's head there's a mental block that makes him hate work. Where did I put that address of Dr. Melvin? He's a reputable psychiatrist. Here it is. Here.
All right, Jane, but how am I going to tell Al he's a blockhead without hurting his feelings?
Irma, when you get him to the doctor, ask him if he's got a special rate for two and give yourself a treat. Come in.
It's only me, Professor Kropotkin. Hello, Jane, you know, my two little gamblers. One flipping a coin to heads, the other with a head that's flipped.
Professor.
No, excuse me, Jane, a little joke to celebrate April Fool's Day.
Yesterday was April Fool's Day.
Oh, no, it must be today because when I turned my faucet on, water came out.
Yeah, the same thing happened to Irma a few minutes ago, only she had her clothes on.
What?
Hmm.
Professor, do you ever go to a psychiatrist?
Me? Never. In this I don't believe. They make you lay back and close your eyes and tell the man your life story. And for this, they charge you good money, yeah. You know, for a dollar, I can do the same thing in the barbershop and get a shave in the bargain.
Please, Professor, don't discourage her. She wants Al to see a psychiatrist, and I'm all for it.
Well, now, maybe a psychiatrist might do him some good. You've tried everything else. Like the time you got him into a game of blind man's bluff and walked him over to the employment office.
I'm waltzing with me little darling.
My goodness, Irma, if you're going to a psychiatrist, take me. I need treatment, too.
What?
Yes, I could swear I just heard the mating call of an elephant.
Come in.
Come in. Oh, hello, girls.
Hello, Mrs. O'Reilly. My, you're in fine voice today.
Thank you. I just love to sing the Tennessee Waltz.
No, please, Mrs. O'Reilly, if you sing the Tennessee Waltz once more, Tennessee will waltz right out of the Union.
Oh, don't be such an old sourpuss. It wouldn't hurt you to sing once in a while instead of playing those practical jokes on me all the time.
Practical jokes? What did he do now?
Well, I had a couple of my petticoats hanging on the line, and he put a sign on them. We'll sell to the highest bidder complete set of sails for 5-masted schooner.
And I could have sold them, too, if they weren't an off-size.
So,
yes, that is so.
Oh, please, now don't argue. I have a problem. Oh, I'm sorry, Irma, darling. What's wrong?
Well, it's Al. Jane thinks if I take him to a psychiatrist, might help him keep a job.
Well, I think it's very sensible. Irma, darling, them psychiatrists are doing wonderful work. I know they help me.
Well, did you go in for treatment?
Yes. Years ago, I had a bad shock. And there was a period when I thought I was a chicken.
A chicken?
Yes. I'd run around the house flapping my arms and clucking. Duck, 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 duck.
Well, how did he cure you?
Well, at that time, the price of eggs dropped so low, he convinced me that it wouldn't pay me to stay in the business.
Miss O'Reilly, when you go to a psychiatrist's office, just what do they do?
Well, you lay back on a couch and the doctor asks questions about your life. Takes you way back to your early childhood.
How much food do you take with you?
Food?
Mrs. O'Reilly, if anybody goes back to your childhood, it would be impossible to make that long trip without something to eat on the way.
Oh, mind your own business. Irma, darling, I hope the psychiatrist can do Al some good. But you got to be careful how you handle the situation.
I do?
Yes. I had trouble with my late husband, Clancy, when I tried to get him to see a psychiatrist.
Why? Did he need treatment?
Well, it started when I was his nurse. He'd just had an operation on his eyes, and in the hospital, we fell madly in love and got married.
Oh, how romantic. He fell in love without ever seeing you.
Yes. But when we came home and removed the bandages from his eyes, he began to crack. Every time I walked into the room, he tried to put the bandages back on.
Yeah, and from this comes the expression, a sight for sore eyes. From the book, What Makes Clancy Run.
Oh, quiet, you. This is not helping Irma's problem.
Gosh, I don't know how to tell Al he needs a psychiatrist because, gosh, he's so proud of his mind.
Well, I don't blame him. I always thought it was valuable.
You did?
Sure. I firmly believe that someday there'll be a price on his head.
Oh, thank you, Jane. You've given me confidence. I'm going right out and talk to him. Oh, here's the place. The Waldorf. I hope he's in.
Yes, lady, can I help you?
Is this the Waldorf pool room?
Yeah. Hey, you're Al's girl, ain't you?
Yeah. Is he here?
Third aisle right, fifth table.
Thank you, sir.
Hiya, chicken.
Hello, Al, honey.
Be with you in a minute. One more shot and I'll have the table clean.
Oh, Al, can't you make your shot and clean the table later? I want to talk to you.
Meet it. Now, what's on your mind, chicken?
No, Al, nothing's on my mind. I'm thinking about your mind.
Well, what do you mean?
I want to take you to a psychiatrist with me.
Me to a psychiatrist? What for? I ain't got no frustrations. I'm a happy guy.
Well, how can you be happy when I'm so miserable?
Chicken, why should you be miserable? You got me, ain't you?
Well, I don't like the way you behave.
You don't?
Maybe you got one of those diseases in your head, like paregoric. Oh, new roses. Or you might even be a wiener schnitzel.
Chicken, a wiener schnitzel is something with an egg on it.
Well, maybe you're just in the early stages. Yeah. You ever go around saying, cluck, 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 cluck?
Chicken, who have you been talking to?
Well, maybe it's something you don't know about, something that will happen in your early childhood.
Well, of course, when I was a baby, I did fall out of my high chair.
Then that's it. You couldn't go to work that day. You've been afraid to take a job ever since.
That's a lot of malarkey.
But Al, you like to sleep all day. I think that's abnormal.
Oh, you do? Do you know how long a grizzly bear sleeps in the winter? 4 months. And when you go to the zoo, do you ever see a sign on his cage saying, sorry, bear out to see a psychiatrist? No, chicken, forget that stuff.
Then you can forget about me.
What?
If you don't think enough of me to see a psychiatrist, you and I are through.
Oh, well, chicken, since you put it that way, okay, I'll go.
Oh, Al, you're wonderful. Here's your drink.
Yeah, now, hold it. When a man is condemned, he should at least have the privilege of naming his own executioner. I'll get my own psychiatrist.
Well, I know you won't be sorry, Al. And when they ask you to make your mind a blank, don't be frightened. Just think of me.
Dear Millicent, sweet Millicent, now she's using Pepsodent. Her smile's a light and her romance bright.
And if you want to be like Millicent, get Pepsodent. For Pepsodent gets your teeth brighter.
Brighter. Brighter. Brighter.
Yes, Pepsodent gets teeth brighter than the average of all other leading toothpastes combined. Test after test proves it. And remember,
brighter teeth are cleaner teeth and less susceptible to decay.
No other toothpaste has Pepsodent's brighter polishing ingredient and exclusive film-removing formula with Irium. So remove dull film that makes teeth dingy. Remove acid film that causes decay. Use Pepsodent to get your teeth
brighter, brighter, brighter.
Yes, brighter by far.
Like Millicent, get Pepsodent, get Pepsodent.
To Dr. Melvin, the psychiatrist I recommended, he's picked one of his own. And if he's anything like any of the other medical men Al knows, I don't want to be there. You know, he took Irma to one of his doctor friends one time. You know what the examination consisted of? He lifted her foot and said there was nothing wrong with her. All she needed was a new set of horseshoes. Oh, this is one cookie who will never trust that Al too far.
Come in.
Hello, Al. You sent for me.
Yeah, Mushy, I need your help. Have to see a psychiatrist.
Well, Al, that's nothing to monkey about. If you need eyeglasses, get them.
No, Mushy, psychiatrists don't make glasses. They work on your head.
Oh, I guess I was thinking of a chiropodist.
Yeah.
What's wrong with your head, Al? Did you work under a blackjack?
Nothing's wrong with my head. I'm just doing this to please Chicken.
Yeah.
But got to do it my way.
Who are you calling, Al?
Who else but... Hello, Joe. Al, got a problem. Do you know a good, competent psychiatrist? Honest, trustworthy, and reliable, who will do anything for a buck? You do? Dr. R.B. Pringle, Ph.D., LLB, and S.S. What's the S.S. for, Joe? Oh, right now he's in Sing Sing. No, need somebody right away. You see, got to find somebody who will tell Chicken that if I take a job, I may drop dead immediately. What? You think you got the right man for me? Well, who is he? Your wife's brother, Leonard, but he's an upholsterer. Oh, he has an extra couch and owns a frock coat. Good deal, Joe. Well, look, tell him to put up a sign, Dr. Leonard, psychiatrist. What? Spell it? S-I-K-I-T-R-A-S-T. So long, Joe, and thanks for everything. Oh, that Joe is one in a million. Always comes through.
Yeah, I remember the time when he saved my life.
Joe saved your life?
Yeah. By mistake, I made a date with my girlfriend Violet and my girlfriend Libby at the same time in front of the same drugstore. You know, they both loved me, Al.
Well, did they know about each other?
No. Ain't I a dog?
Mushy, what happened?
Well, I was sure both girls would kill me when they spotted Joe. I give him the high sign. Quick as a flash, he robs the drugstore, slips the gun into my pocket, prints me out to the cops, and before I know it, I'm safe in jail. What's he doing for you, Al?
Nothing that drastic.
Yeah.
Look, Mushy, you can help.
Well, sure, Al. What do I got to do?
You go see Leonard the upholsterer in the Baxter building on 4th Avenue. Tell him I'm a friend of Joe's, and then when I get down there for a treatment with chicken, he's got to tell me I'm allergic to work.
All right, Al. Gee, you're smart.
Thanks, Mushy.
Too bad you wasn't a school teacher. You could have done a lot for kids. So...
Hello, Milton J. Clyde, attorney at law.
Oh, hiya, chicken. Alzie Wells.
Oh, hello, Al, honey. Did you get an appointment with the psychiatrist?
Everything's fixed, chicken. It's Dr. Leonard in the upholstery... the Baxter building. Meet you there at 5 o'clock, huh?
Oh, Al, I know it's going to make a big difference in our lives.
Sure, chicken. And you can depend on me. Whatever that doctor prescribes, I will do.
You will?
Yep. If he wants me to cut out smoking, we'll cut out smoking. Wants me to cut out drinking, we'll cut out drinking.
Attaboy, Al.
Wants me to cut out necking, we'll cut out necking.
Al, do you think we're doing the right thing?
Can't back out now, chicken. And if he wants me to go to work, I'll go to work. And, of course, if he don't want me to go to work, I won't go to work, huh?
Oh, Al, you're so brave.
Miss Peterson.
Just a minute, Mr. Clyde. I've got to hang up now, Al. I'll see you at the doctor's. Goodbye.
Come here, Miss Peterson.
Yes, sir.
Look at this letter. I told you to order a Maytag washing machine for my wife. I said Maytag, not April Tag.
Well, I thought it'd be cheaper if we got an older model.
I didn't ask you to think. I said Maytag, and that's what we want.
Well, then you'll have to wait 30 days. May won't be here for another month.
Another month of this, and I won't be here. You get that letter out immediately.
All right, but I'll have to wait until the carbon paper dries.
What?
Well, every time I touch it, my fingers get dirty, so I'm washing all the black stuff off the paper.
You idiot! That black stuff is carbon. That's what makes the copies. Now, how are you going to get duplicates of my letters?
Well, I have a camera. We can take pictures.
Oh, no.
Mr. Clyde, why are you shaking that way?
I just took a samba lesson from Arthur Murray. Listen, you idiot.
Now, calm down, Mr. Clyde. Can I get you a glass of water?
No, the last time you gave me a glass of water, you were using the water cooler for an aquarium, and I swallowed 3 goldfish. You better get those letters out. I'm leaving.
Well, where are you going?
I don't know. I may get a crew haircut, lie about my age, and get myself drafted. Goodbye.
Milton J. Clyde, attorney at law, Miss Pearson speaking.
Hi, sweetie. This is me, Jane.
Oh, hello, Jane.
Honey, I have a date to go dancing with Steve tonight at the Spring Festival. I don't have any white shoes. Could I borrow yours?
Oh, certainly, Jane, but you have to be awfully careful not to step on Steve's toes.
What?
I had ice skates attached to those shoes.
Oh, no. No, sweetie, not those shoes. Your white dancing pumps.
Oh, those, sure, Jane. They're in the clothes closet.
Thanks, honey. Did Al see the psychiatrist yet?
No, I'm meeting him there at 5 o'clock. Gosh, if Al does all right, maybe I should take a treatment, too.
No, Cookie. Psychiatrists are pretty busy these days. They don't have time to go to each other for treatments. Bye.
Goodbye.
Gee, Leonard, how do you rate this nice office?
Yeah, the dopey landlord don't even know I'm here. I took down the for rent sign and put up the psychiatrist sign I made.
Oh, that's real funny. Now, look, don't forget, when Al comes here, you got to say he must never work or he will die.
Yeah, you told me all that. Now, look, the 4 them words a real psychiatrist use. Yeah. Frustrations, complex, subconscious. Yeah. Hey, what time is it, Mushy?
4:30.
Well, watch your store, will you? I'm going out to put $2 on a nag.
Gosh, I wish I had $2. Oh, a full-length mirror. Oh, you beautiful doll. You great, big, beautiful doll.
Pardon me.
Yeah?
I seen your sign. Are you a psychiatrist?
Was you ever to a psychiatrist before?
No.
I'm the psychiatrist. We're having a special sale today, $2.
Well, I don't know if you can help me. I have headaches, and my boss said I should see somebody.
Well, just what seems to be the trouble?
Well, they say I have a complex.
That's right, you got a beautiful complex. What kind of soap do you use? Never mind. Now, let's see. Who's supposed to lie on the couch, you or me? I think it's you. Would you like to lie on the couch?
All right.
Well, that'll be 15 cents extra. My bookie lives in New Jersey, and I got to make a toll call. I mean, it's just a federal tax. Now, lie on this couch and relax. Try to sleep, will you?
All right.
Yeah, I'll help you. Rock a baby on the treetop. Go to sleep, my baby.
Hey, just a minute.
Huh?
Where are you going with my pocketbook?
I was just looking for your subconscious.
Yeah? Well, if you ask me, I think you're a phony. I want my pocketbook.
Hey, Mushy, what's going on here?
I'm going to call a cop.
Hey, what are you people doing in here?
Oh, it's the landlord. I'm sorry, Mr. Davis.
Never mind the excuses. This place has been rented. Get out of here, all of you. Go on. I'm sorry, Mr. Stevens. I thought the door was locked.
Oh, that's all right. I understand.
Well, by the way, that sign you wanted saying employment agency will be ready tomorrow.
That's all right. I'll just sit at this desk and do some preliminary work.
Fine.
Don't you worry, Mr. Davis. I'll be a good tenant. I'm going to have the most successful employment agency on this street.
Well, chicken, this is the address. Now, remember, when we walk in, whatever the psychiatrist tells me to do, I will do.
That's the spirit, Al.
Neither you nor me will question the decision.
I promise, Al.
Okay, let's go. Well, well, good day, sir. I am Al, and I am ready. What do you suggest?
Well, there's nothing wrong with you that a good job won't fix.
Well,
report tomorrow morning at the shipyards.
Oh, Al, isn't that wonderful? Doctor, he's so happy he fainted.
Herm and Jane will be back in a minute, but first, this is Wendell Niles reminding you that your best toothpaste buy is the economy-size Pepsodent. Almost one-third of a pound, only 63 cents. So get Pepsodent without delay for a smile that's brighter by far.
Brighter. Brighter. Brighter.
Yes, Pepsodent gets teeth brighter than the average of all other leading toothpastes combined.
Like Millicent, get Pepsodent. Yes, Pepsodent.
Well, Al threw a boomerang and it almost knocked his head off. I don't know whether he's going to take the job, but the whole thing had a great effect upon Irma. She thinks psychiatrists are just wonderful. In fact, she went to one today. What happened, honey?
Oh, a bunch of psychiatrists came in the room and looked at me. I don't think they wash their hair very often.
What do you mean?
All the time they examined me, they just stood around there scratching their heads.
Well, they just scratched their heads. Most of the time I bang mine against the wall. So would you, if you lived with my friend Irma.
My Friend Irma is a Sky Howard production. Clark Levy writes the script with Stanley Adams and Roland McLean and is brought to you by Pepsodent Toothpaste with Arium, another fine product of Lever Brothers Company. The part of Al was played by John Brown. Hans Conried was heard as Professor Kropotkin and Gloria Gordon as Mrs. O'Reilly. Music was under the direction of Lud Luskin. Marie Wilson is starred as Irma and Kathy Lewis as Jane. Remember, your friend Irma says,
all my friends buy Pepsodent.
Be life, boy.
halfway clean on off 13.
I'm happy and I'm singing the Lifebuoy song.
Are you safe on all 13 areas of your skin where you can get B.O.? Lifebuoy Health Soap deodorizes all these 13 areas. Stops B.O. before it begins. Stops it up to 48 hours. Doctors prove Lifebuoy gets skin cleaner than any other leading soap. Get Lifebuoy. Use it daily.
Herein is Pepsodent's registered trademark for purified Elsa soap. All over America, important progress is being made against cancer through the American Cancer Society's vital research and education programs. These major efforts to control cancer can continue only with your help. Strike back at this disease. Join the 1951 Cancer Crusade. Support the ACS in its life-saving work. Mail your generous contribution now to Cancer, C-A-N-C-E-R, care of your local post office. Be with us again next week, and once again, Pepsodent brings you My Friend Irma. This is Wendell Niles speaking, and this is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Thank you for joining us once again to enjoy the old-time radio hour. Next week, we will bring you another Cy Howard sitcom, Life with Luigi. Until then, I'm your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for now.